Good evening, I always say good evening, good evening. Soon, Emet Hashem, we'll be learning some halachas about the Shkedim Amorim. We'll be learning about the almonds. And within that Seif, there's some of the very important Yesoides, Vilches, Birkes, Aperos. The next we see Ifem, contain it all. If you ever want to know about your mashed potatoes and about your lokshin kegel and your, not lokshin kegel, but apple potato kegel, you want to know about brachas, we're going to be learning those seifim now. These are going to be the critical ones. However, prior to doing so, I must share with you Shem Yishmuel that I saw. Shem Yishmuel, is it okay, Rabbi Yossel? Shem Yishmuel, a Dvar Torah on the Megillah? Is that okay, yeah? I'm just wondering, I'm just making sure that. Bechsidish, but it's a good idea. But we allow it, yeah. As long as we point out that there are, you know. Yeah, I saw Moedig Vot, fantastic Vot. It gives a lot of chizik. You okay with it? It gave me a lot of chizik. Okay, the Gemara says that Bnei Bonov, the grandchildren of Haman, Harosha, they learned Torah in Bnei Brak. In Bnei Brak. You sing Bnei Brak with a sigh. What? Because you learned there, right?
I've met them.
You met them, that's right. So that was prior to the days of air conditioning, right? Yeah. No, but air conditions are recent. So the Bnei Bonov, so the question that Mefarshim ask is why, what was his chos? What did Haman HaRosha do in order to be zoicha, to have grandchildren learning Torah in Bnei Brak? Well, what would he do? What did he do good? I mean, his whole life was one big life of destruction and hatred. All he wanted to do was destroy Klal Yisrael, and he hated it. What did he do? What good did he do that he should have such as chosen, having grandchildren sitting and learning Torah? Good question. Good question. Fair question. Fair question. Says the Heilige Shem Yishmuel. He answered it with the Medrash. The Medrash says that when Haman took around Mordechai Tzadik, he took him around, we all know, he was riding on the horse of Achashverosh, and he was taking him around town. At that point, the Pasuk describes, the Megillah describes exactly how he took it, what he took it, everything. But what was going through the mind of Haman? What was going through the mind of Haman in that minute? What was going through the mind of Haman in that moment? What was going through the mind? What was going through the mind? Says the Medrash, the Pasuk says, it just escaped my mind. Pasuk in Tehillim. Can I just have a? Yeah, I'll be all right. I've forgotten it. Oh. Let's see what's quicker. He finished the Ohis Sinivol. No. But what's the pasuk? How does the pasuk start? Ohis Sinivol. Oh, I've forgotten it now. Oh. Which capital is it? Okay, the Pasuk says, I'm going to translate it without knowing without having the words of the Pasuk in my mouth now. Oy.
Is it Bukhita Zimra?
Yeah, we don't say it in Bukhita Zimra.
It's quite early on in
Zimra. Yeah. Never mind. Okay, I don't remember now. Let's not search for it. But the pasuk says, the pasuk that was going through the mind of Haman was that I've been a pasuk in Tehillim says I've been going through a lot of suffering, and Hashem is start to ponecha. You have hidden yourself, Hashem. I got a shock.
It's in
Tachon,
right?
Oh, very good. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, right. Said that very good. Thank you very much. And I got a shock. The Pasuk describes that David HaMelech, Pasuk says in Tehillim, that he got hurt by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he relates to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This was the Pasuk that went through the mind of Haman during when he was taking him around. Says the Heilige Shem Yishmuel, although despite the fact that Haman had no connection to the was not Pekoros, he wanted destruction and he was hating Klal Yisrael with all his passion. However, at one point he was thinking, during when he was taking around Mordechai HaTzadik through the streets, he was thinking, oh Hashem, you give me a patch over here. You've given me a shtos, as we say in Yiddish. You've pushed me away now. And he related it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, not closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, some sort of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Hashem, you've punished me now. That association to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not closeness to Hashem, but it's a connection to Hashem. That subtle connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for one minute only, in schus of that, he had named Bonov learning Torah in Daybach. So, of course, he wasn't apikoros all the years before that. He wasn't apikoros all the years after that. But for one moment in time, one short moment, he had a subtle, I can't call it connection, but... Recognition, that's the word. Absolutely, recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have one machshava achas, 1 minute of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even not in a particularly positive way, but a recognition, that's the word, Taka. Recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the schus that you have. Even a Rosha like him.
When did he have that
recognition, when he took him round, it was such a humiliation, he went through such humiliation when he took round Motcha on the horse. He was feeling so humiliated, but the thought process that went through his mind was, oh, HaKadosh Hashem, you've punished me there, you've given me a big part. So he associated it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He thought, he realized then for a minute, he was of course an Amaleki, he generally thought about coincidence, he generally lived a life without Hashem, but for 1 minute, he thought of Hashem. For 1 minute, in a negative way, but he thought of Hashem. He said, that's such humiliation, such a disrespect thing for me to do, to go around taking Motcha on the horse. But he felt, for 1 minute, he had that connection, that recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, he had such a schus. Of course, it shows us the Gevaldige, what a thought, a little thought can do, well, the schus of a little thought. Even more so, Kavachemer, when we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. The Rav Shach, it reminded me, Rav Shach has this tzavod, the will that Rav Shach wrote. Rav Shach wrote the famous will. When he was nifter, the will came out, when it was published, and it was shown. And he wrote the tzavod, initially his will. Rav Shach wrote his will when he was like in his 60s, 70s, he wrote the will. And then he had it signed. And then 10 years later, he had a second version, he changed it after 10 years. And he lived on for another 10 years. And then he changed it after 10 years again. And then he revised it a bit. And then after revising, he had it signed again. And then he lived on another 10 years, had it revised again. And then he had to change it. He had changed 3-4 nusach. It started the first nusach when he was 60. He wrote the first will. But as we know, Rav Shach was Marich Yomim Meshonim. And the last edition was like every 10 years he changed it. But he went through quite a lot of editions. Now, in that tzavah, he writes, Rav Shach writes, in his will he writes over there, that if people, may Talmidim that learn Torah by me in Ponivash, they should learn Mishnais Leilu Nishmos. They should learn Mishnais in my Leilu Nishama. But people who don't have time to learn Mishnais, at the very least, they should have Machshava Achas Shal Musa in Leilu Nishmosi. They should have Machshava Achas, one thought of a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be Leilu Nishmosi. One thought that would be a great, great Ilu in Neshama for me. One short thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the greatness of that. That's what Rav Shach said, and I thought that it's very similar to the vort of the Heilige Shem Yishmuel. Having said that, we are back to Simon Reish Pesiv Hey. And we're going to be learning about Shkedim Amorim tonight, page 212, second line. Shkedim Amorim, unfortunately, I'm not a great botanist. Is that what it is? Botanist? Rabbi Yossel, is that what it is?
Botanist.
Yeah. So I'm not great at that. You'll have to help me out. But what I do know from the Shulchan Aruch, that there's two types of almond trees. Okay, there's two types of almond trees. One of them is almonds that are two different types. One of them grow smallish, kind of slightly more bitter kind of almonds, and they will not fully grow and develop into proper nice one almonds that we know. These almonds are called Shkedim Amorim, the bitter Shkedim, the bitter almonds. Then there's another type, Shkedim, the regular almonds, that's the ones we know. Okay, that's his introduction, otherwise we're not going to manage to get through the Seif. In that Seif, we're going to be learning some halachas which are relevant to other nuts and fruits as well. Seif Hey, Shkedim Amorim. There's a type of almonds which are Shkedim Amorim. The type, the species of Shkedim Amorim, of the bitter ones, Cheheim Ktanim, when they are small, what bracha are you going to make on that? What's your guess? It's a tough guess, because it's unlike what we learned previously.
They are bitter.
Oh, very good. So we would have thought that not fully developed, precisely what we learned, the true bracha of Shkedim Amorim should be Shakoel. Why would it be Shakoel? Oh, very good. So you're right already. You're right, but give me a minute. Following what we learned previously, is that it's not fully developed. It's not fully developed. There should be Shakoel. When we learned something is not fully developed in the Seif base, you're going to make Shakoel on it. Now, Shkedim Amorim, not so. So you're right. What we learned until now would have been that you make shakel. But over here we're learning that no, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shkedim Amorim, Sheim Ketanim, Mevorich Boer Priyo Eitz. He said, no, with regards to this Shkedim Amorim, the bitter almonds, you can make Boer Priyo Eitz on it. However, Gdoilim, when they are fully grown, what bracha would you have thought that you make on it? What would you have thought, Chaim? What would you have thought? You would have probably thought. Exactly, I would have thought they were Eitz. I would have thought exactly like Chaim. Wait, but Shulchan Aruch says, Gdoilim, when they are fully grown, says Shulchan Aruch, actually, no. You're not making any bracha on it. Dazuke maske. No. When they're fully grown, you don't make any bracha on the Shkedim Amorim. When they're fully grown, when they are tiny, you make eitz. When they're fully grown, you make on them no bracha. Why? Says Shulchan Aruch the reason. V'tam et emiltzeh, and the reason for that is, the kshem ketanim, when they are tiny, when they are not fully grown yet, ikre achilosam, the main reason why you're eating them, who are klipa. You're going to eat them for their shell. Now, I don't know what you know about shells of almonds. Shells of almonds? What do you know about shells of almonds? Almond shells? What do you know about almond shells?
First guy
will be
needed, right?
Exactly, yeah. Almond shells?
I've seen Google
it. Yeah. Almond shells. Pardon? Outer. I believe. Let's revisit it in a minute, but I think it's outer. And you eat them for the, actually, when you eat them, you eat these almonds because actually the shell is actually very tasty. The actual almond is bitter. Shkedim Amorim, they are bitter. But when those special species of almonds, when they're underdeveloped, you're going to eat them because of the shell. And shell is edible. Shell is edible. We have plenty of nuts. Shells are edible. And you're going to make the bracha of for eitz because of the shell. Ya'klip of eino moro. Ve'kshem gdoilim. But when they're fully grown. Ve'kshem gdoilim ikra achilosom. The main... when they're fully grown, the ikra achilosom, you're not going to eat them because of the shell anymore. The main reason why you're eating them is mashu bifnim. Is because of the inner part of these shkedim. Rumar, and this is bitter. It remains bitter. It remains the inner.
That's the shell.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So when they are but the ikar chelos mashim ifnim rumar v'mesaken rumar, and the inner is bitter. So when they are tiny, you're eating them because of the shell. You're going to make eitz on it. No reason why not. However, when they're fully developed, you don't eat them because of the shell. You might not be eat the shell anymore. You're eating because of the bitter inside. I don't know why you want to eat it. It's bitter. It's not particularly nice. But you're gonna make a shakol on it because that's all it deserves. It deserves a shakol. If you fry it now, you roast it. If you're going through a roasting process, or you manage to process it in one way or another, you're going to make a brach of boir priyo eitz. If you're able to process it, and now it regains its full quality, you can make Boer Priyo Eitz on it, and you can make a bracha of Boer Priyo Eitz on it. So we're learning, Rabbeisai, this is the Yesoid. We're learning. With regards to Shkedim Amorim, these bitter Shkedim, if they are tiny, you make Boer Priyo Eitz on it. The reason being, you are benefiting for, you're eating it primarily because of the shell, which is edible, and you're eating them, and you make Boer Priyo Eitz on it. Point number one. Point number two, if they are fully grown and fully developed, it remains bitter, Shkedim Amorim remain bitter, you're going to eat them because of the bitter Shkedim, you're not going to eat it because of the shell, is not edible at all anymore when they're fully grown, so you're going to eat them because of the inner, and that's more, and therefore the bracha will be Shakol, the bracha is Shakol, it's not tasty, you make Shakol on it, it's not fully grown, it's not fully it remains bitter, you make shakel on it. However, with regards to the fully grown one, if you are able to fry, to roast it, and now it's delicious, it's not bitter anymore, you can make purple eitz on it. Rabbi said, this is a mamash important yesod. Very good. Very good question. Binyamin is asking, why, if it's roasted,
Underground.
Binyamin wants to know the following question. Why is it that if you've got this shkedim amorim, which are fully grown, we're learning now, that what pochot you make on it? Shahakol. Why? Because it's bitter? It's not. Why?
It's not for the shell.
For the inner. That's right. And that's absolutely, and that's bitter. So we make shahakol on it. So we're learning, Shulchan Aruch says, if you're roasting it, then you make my eitz on it. Says Binyamin, Yaakov Alevi, why is if you're roasting it, that suddenly you can make eitz on it? Why? Surely, it shouldn't be any better than you should remain a shakol. Should stay a shakol. It's a very good question.
Maybe cut the, maybe take away that bitter of
this. It takes away the bitterness. Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. You're going the right direction. Mishneh Berurah says as follows. Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Lamed Zayin. Mishmuel Sifkot Lamed Zayin is the first wide line in this edition over here. Mevorach Pepur Eitz, Vuadin Sham Mine Peiros, similarly also with regards to other Peiros, Shehem Chamutzim, if they are sour or Imarim bitter, Ve'einom Ruim La'achila, and they are not really edible, Klal, at all, Umisken, and they are fixed, Oy Bishlon, or you are able to fry it, or bake it, or cook it, Shemevorach Pepur Eitz, you're then allowed to make purple eitz on it. Ta'aloi be'emes prihu, elo she'enu roi la'achil kach. Lekach me'ane mituk. It says that since really it's a pri, really it's a pri, it's a fruit. Almond, well, it deserves really purple eitz. The problem is that it's too bitter. Well, if you are able to remove the bitterness, then it deserves its true bracha. It deserves its true bracha, which is ha'etz. So if by frying it, or by roasting it, or by baking it, the bitterness is removed, then its former bracha, its former beauty is, not former really, it's, what, how should we call it? It's
earlier.
It's not really early, because he never had that. It's, it was never good. It's real. Beauty comes out. Its real tam comes out, and therefore you're able to make ha'etz on it. Yeah, that's right. Subsequent ha'etz, that's right, and therefore you'll be able to make ha'etz on it. Right, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Yeah. Not so if it's real almonds. What's going to be the halacha with not these bitter ones, but the regular type? What would be the halacha there? And that's right. And does it make a difference? If what happens if they're bitter? If they're bitter... does anybody agree to that? What? Bitter almonds?
Sorry, if they became... What do you mean? They were...
No, not developed yet.
Charcoal.
What do you think? Yeah, I also think so. If they are bitter, you're going to make charcoal.
What do you do if you don't know what they're going to taste like?
Good question.
Charcoal?
That's a very good question.
Is there a broth on the tongue if you make it?
No. If it's her AIDS and it's bitter...
If you should have made charcoal, then you make...
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I know that if you make charcoal and it ends up and it wasn't made of your eitz, you're still fine. It's still your eitz. Because we try to avoid charcoals as of sofek. That's a rule that we're going to actually see in numerous places. The truth is, you can skip any brachas b'di'avet and do charcoal. Any brachas b'di'avet yoitz with the charcoal. So because we generally try to avoid the attitude, we try to avoid just doing shakol just to be on the safe side. So on some circumstances we do that, but it's the last resort.
When someone's cooking it, they can taste it without a bracha.
Yeah.
Is that with or without swallowing?
Oh, we're going to get to that. I don't remember. I do not remember. We'll have to get to that.
Would it be the same as almonds?
I don't think you have to taste. So you're right. There would be an eight, but I don't think you have to go that far and start tasting them. Why would you assume they're bitter? Is there any reason why we'd assume they're bitter, or just on the safe side? So if you, I suppose, I think as a general rule, if there's no reason why you should assume they're bitter, if it's just a normal packet, you open them up and so I think you can just assume they're fine, you can make her eight. However, if there's any reason to assume that there's something by their appearance or something, to maybe tackle you, but to be on the safe side, you maybe you're right, you should make shakal in it. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. We're going to start this a little bit. Do you know what a caper tree is? It's slough. A caper tree, do you know what it is? Apparently, that's what the translation is. Slough. Slough is a caper tree.
Caper berry.
Yeah, caper berry, that's right. A caper tree. I think that's what it's translated as. Could that be?
The shrubby plant is many branch with alternative leaves, thick and shiny, round
to. Oh, wow, very good. Does it talk about its berries and about its leaves?
What is a caper berry?
And does it speak about its leaves?
Edible flower buds.
Oh! Used for seasoning. Look at that!
And the fruit caper berries, which are usually consumed pickled. Other species of which serve as pickled change.
Good, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Tzlaf, which is Peres Tzlaf, so that's the caper tree. Min, can you show a picture? Have you got a picture of that?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Kitzlaf, min ilon, it's a type of tree. She'olin shleruim la'achile, its leaves are edible. You've got a kind of tree, or bush, that its leaves are edible. Fancy that, Chaim? Its leaves are edible. V'yesh ba'le, ba'olav k'min t'morim. It is. Its leaves are edible. Okay, now I'm not sure, so please don't quote me on that, but I think, have you got the coastal in your mind? You know how the coastal looks? Yeah? Now, do you know there's like this, in some places there's the green leaves, like the bushes, the type of bushes, yeah, on by the stones? So I may be wrong, and don't, do you know what I mean? Those green, like, bushes? So apparently these are caper bushes, or caper tree, caper bush. Apparently so. They're quite high up normally, right? The ones in the bottom are removed. So those apparently are caper bush. It could be. So those leaves are edible. There's also dates, berries growing on them. So if you know, So on all those, on the berries, on the leaves, on everything that grows in it, which is edible, alo alin on the leaves, ala tomorrow's on the dates, fala kafisin on the other outgrowth, there bury priadomi, make priadom on it, fala vionishim, ikrapri bury priadates. But if vionois, which is the actual berries, you make her aids on it, on everything else that grows from it, you can make bury priadom. So that's a very specific bush, which is very specific, leaves. There the halacha is that you go, that everything is edible over there, pretty much. You're going to make Bepri Adoma on everything besides the actual Evyoinois. On the Evyoinois, you're going to make, Bepri Eitz, and the rest you're going to make Bepri Adoma. Obviously, Mishnah Berurah points out, but the Evet, if you make Bepri Adoma on anything, you're still going to be Yotzi. That Seif just teaches us a very specific halacha with regards to those caper trees. Good, okay, to recap what we covered tonight, Basiat Ishmael. We spoke in great detail about this almond trees that has very specific almond trees that grows Shkedim Amorim. We learned that there you have the small ones you're going to make Purple Eats, and because you primarily eat it because of the shell, when they're fully grown, you're going to make Shakun in it because you're eating it for the inner, which is very bitter. We learned this is as opposed and in stark contrast to the fully developed different regular almonds, that the bracha is going to be otherwise. We then learned that the aloch about the tzlaf is caper trees, caper bush, and we learned that there's lots of parts of it that you can make a bracha on, whether it's the berries, the vionois, the leaves, and quite a lot of it. So the halacha is you're only going to make the bracha on the vyoinos or eitz, and on all the other parts you're going to make bo'e pu adoma. And b'diavad, if you don't make bo'e pu adoma on anything else, you're going to be yotze. Siv zayin tomorrow, b'ezer Hashem, is bracha shemoy.